2014, Taylor Swift was made the New York City Ambassador for Tourism by the city's official marketing and tourism organization. This decision was met by a lot of outrage from those who call themselves true New Yorkers, since Taylor had only recently moved to the city. What made people even angrier was Taylor's song Welcome to New York. People accused the song of portraying an inaccurate depiction of the city and glossing over the struggles that people who don't have the same means as her go through in New York. The most outrageous thing Taylor did during this time, though, was say the latte is the food of the city and talk about bodegas and stoops. Let's just say, shockingly, the New Yorkers didn't keep quiet about this one. Welcome to New York.
Welcome back to Our American Queen. I'm Emily.
And I'm Erin.
And let's get into it. Okay, so Welcome to New York is a huge part of 1989. It was a promotional single just a few days before the album dropped, and Taylor performed it a lot around that time, and she was really pushing the song. And as we also know, New York City served as a huge part of 1989, and that era, Taylor would always be seen around the city doing things, and she had her apartment there, and she had her friends there. Even to lead up a Welcome to New York, she did a campaign on her Instagram where she did, like, hashtag Welcome to New York, and she posted things that she loved about the city. So she did a latte, she did cookies from a bakery, hanging out with her brother and Carly Kloss, getting pots and pans delivered from her mom, and then also playing pool. So, yeah, it was a huge campaign. It was also part of her role as the New York City global ambassador. So, Erin, what do you think of, firstly, what do you think of the song Welcome to New York?
Yeah, when 1989 first came out, Welcome to New York wasn't my favorite on the album, and it still isn't, but I always thought it was a really cute song. It was very upbeat and happy, and I personally never really read into it too much, but as we'll get into later on in this episode, a lot of people did read into it.
Oh, yes, they
and
did.
And took issue with the song and took issue with Taylor being the ambassador to New York, so it's going to be a very interesting episode.
And I know that we both really like talking about Taylor's eras and the marketing that went along with each one, but I think 1989 was a special kind of marketing in all that she did for it. It actually reminds me of Dua Lipa's whole marketing she's doing now about future nostalgia. She's everywhere. And it reminds me a lot of that. Taylor was constantly grinding. She was always out. She was always doing something. She was always performing. And how do you think the global ambassadorship and also the song Welcome to New York and her living in New York affected the era?
I would say it definitely put her very squarely in the public's conscious. You know, she, like you said, she was everywhere, and New York is one of the biggest cities, and she was all around New York all the time, getting photographed with her friends, like Carly Kloss, like those kind of people, and so she was very present in the media at that time. It's kind of hard to believe she would ever be that present because now she's so quiet and private, but she was. And I think it helped and hurt her at the same time because on the one hand, her being everywhere was seen as annoying by some people because those who didn't like her already, with her just constantly being in the media, getting her picture taken, all of that stuff, they were sick of her, and then she just kind of became oversaturated in that way. But then it also helped her because, you know, it was good publicity.
Do you think that there was some kind of inauthenticity to it? Like, a lot of people in the articles will read complain that Welcome to New York wasn't written because she wanted to write it. It was written because she was going to be the global ambassador.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I would assume that she probably knew she was going to be the ambassador when she wrote the song, so it tied in nicely with that, but I don't think she knew she was going to be the ambassador when she moved to New York, so she probably did have a love for the city and was happy to write a song about it, but it just happened to coincide with this and helped with that marketing.
Yeah, when she actually sang at the Amazon Prime Day last year, she played an acoustic version of Welcome to New York, and the way she spoke about it really seemed authentic to me. She's like, I love the city so much. This is the first song I ever wrote about. It inspires me so much. And as we know, Taylor, the things that she gets inspired about, she loves to write about. So to me, I believe that she wrote it with real intentions and not just because she was the ambassador, but that's just me.
Yeah. You know,
we love to defend Taylor.
Well, like I said, I do think it was a little bit of both. I mean, it did happen to work very nicely with that, but I do think it came from a genuine place.
Yeah, and even, you know, on the 1989 tour, she always says we begin our story in New York. So it just set a really good backdrop for the 1989 era, and it's very, very, very iconic.
Yes.
So first, why don't we start with why Taylor decided to move to New York City?
Mm-hmm. So we have a few quotes from Taylor herself about why she decided to make the move, and we're just going to read those quickly to set the stage for this podcast episode. So the first one is, Taylor says, I dreamt about moving to New York, I obsessed about moving to New York, and then I did it.
I was so intimidated by this city for so long, I thought I would never be able to make it here because I wasn't something enough, bold enough, brave enough to take on this huge city in all of its blaring honesty. And then at a certain point, I just thought, I'm ready.
Then she says, the inspiration I found in that city is kind of hard to describe and hard to compare it to any other force of inspiration I've ever experienced in my life. It's like an electric city.
I approached moving there with such wide-eyed optimism and sort of saw it as a place of endless potential and possibilities. And you can kind of hear that reflected in this music and this first song especially.
And lastly, Taylor says, I wanted to start the album with this song because New York has been an important landscape and location for the story of my life in the past couple of years.
Okay. So that just pretty much plainly says it, that Taylor wanted something different, and it set a perfect stage for the album 1989 and that era.
Yeah, and it does explain a little bit about why she ended up in New York, obviously, and why she wrote Welcome to New York, because, again, I do think this whole thing with her being the ambassador for tourism and writing the song, I do think it came from a genuine place, and she wants people to love the city as much as she does.
Yes. So let's firstly get into the song Welcome to New York and the criticism that that got, and then after that we'll go into the criticism she got for being the global ambassador. So before we talk about the song, I will just quickly mention that Taylor announced that she would donate all of the proceeds of the single to the New York City Department of Education, and then on top of that, she donated $50,000 to the Department of Education, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we know that Taylor is super charitable, and I just really liked that aspect of the single.
Yeah, and at some point we probably will do an episode about that, about Taylor and the places and things she donates to, because a lot of times this is a off-topic tangent, but we know a lot of times people think that she doesn't give back, or when she does, it's like for publicity and to make people think that she's a good person. But anyway,
they even talk about it in the beginning of the Reputation tour.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that the media compilation she has says.
But that's an episode you can look forward to in the future, because we do have an eye on that topic.
Definitely. So we're just going to read some of these criticisms in succession. So the Village Voice, which I believe is defunct now, but they were up and running during this time, and it is a New York City newspaper. It's like a famous newspaper. This article is called, Welcome to New York is literally a tourism campaign disguised as a single, by Tessa Stewart. And her quote from it is, some people might look at this and say, Swift is a marketing genius with an eye for synergy. Others, us, will say she's a cyborg sent to this planet to convince people without ideas to drink Diet Coke, shop at Target, and move to New York. Hashtag welcome to Des Moines.
All right. And then the Village Voice, again, has an article called Why Taylor Swift's Welcome to New York is Bullshit by David Collin. And he writes, the New York of Welcome to New York is what you would get if you populated it entirely with humans raised in the Times Square's Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, then let them out into the world with only a penthouse apartment, an Amex Black card, and leopard print Prada luggage to guide them.
Rob Sheffield of Rolling Stone said, people sure do love to complain about this song. In fact, the most authentically New York thing about it is how it sends people into spasms of mouth-foaming outrage, an explicitly queer-positive disco ode to arrivatists stepping out in the city that invented disco. You can want who you want, boys and boys and girls, that will be bugging the crap out of you in rom-coms for years to come. Just a side note on that, this song is featured in one of my favorite movies, How to Be Single. Check it out. We love Dakota Johnson.
Okay, and Robert Cresto, in a review published on Q Point, said that the critics have been too harsh of Taylor Swift, and he said, I think it's silly to demand sociology from someone who can't stroll Central Park without bodyguards.
Esther Zuckerman of Entertainment Weekly wrote, it honors the city, but it only skims the surface.
So as you can see, it's kind of a mixed bag of reviews of the song, and I think where it kind of got mixed up is that people expected, I guess, Taylor to write, like Robert Christgau said, they expected sociology from Taylor Swift about what it's like to live in the city and like the income disparities and how hard it is to find housing and riding the subway and all that kind of stuff, like the nitty-gritty parts of living in the city that maybe aren't so good, like living in a tiny apartment, things like that. And instead, she just talked about how it's a glittery, perfect city. But again, we do have to realize that this song was in part meant for tourists and was trying to attract people to come to the city for just a few days and come on vacation there. So I think that's kind of the disparity.
Yeah, how many people do you know that, like, fly into New York City or, like, go into the city, play Welcome to New York when they arrive? Like, everyone. We've done that.
Mm-hmm. So, I think Taylor, we'll probably get into this later, but Taylor herself even said, like, this is 1 3-minute song. She cannot get into every single aspect of living in New York in this one song. She just happened to want to touch on the fun, exciting parts of living in the city.
Yeah, why don't we read that? So it was in a Billboard Woman of the Year interview, and the interviewer asked Taylor, you have been criticized for the tone of the 1989 song Welcome to New York. Has it made you think any differently, hearing people say that this is a difficult time to afford to live in the city? And Taylor said, absolutely, but when you write a song, you're writing about a momentary emotion. If you can capture that and turn it into a 3.5 minutes that feel like that emotion, that's all you're trying to do as a songwriter. To take a song and try to apply it to every situation everyone is going through, economically, politically, and an entire metropolitan area, is asking a little much of a piece of music.
Yeah, I like that answer, and I think it does sort of answer well to all the critiques that we're going to continue talking about in this episode, which is that it's out of touch, tone deaf of Taylor to write this song because she's a millionaire and she can afford to do all the fun things in New York and not have to worry about anything, and she just gets to experience the good parts and just kind of glosses over the bad parts. But like she said, she is trying to capture the moment that you arrive to New York and what that's like.
This is just kind of a side note about the song, but what do you think of the implications of Taylor in 2014 affirming basically the LGBTQ community?
I mean, that was the first time she did, and it was kind of subtle, I think, but it was obviously there if you were listening and paying attention. And I do think it probably set the stage for later on in Lover when she would write You Need to Calm Down, which is a lot more explicit about her support.
I mean, during this time, it seems like she was, we went into it in our episode about the 2016 election, but it seems like she was a little bit muzzled during this time. So I think it's really important that she got to put that little part in about the LGBTQ community. And I don't think it can be understated that she put that in there in a promotional single for a huge, monumental album that won Album of the Year. So, yeah, I just thought that was important to include. Okay, so should we get into Taylor being the global ambassador and all the shit that went down for that?
Yeah, because the backlash for the song was one thing, and, you know, people, again, it doesn't capture the real city, blah, blah, blah. But that was not anywhere near the amount of backlash that Taylor got when she received the global ambassadorship. People really freaked out.
Yes, yes, they did. So, Erin, do you want to read the press release?
Yes. So, this is the press release from NYC & Company, which, like we said, is the city's tourism organization. And this is them announcing Taylor Swift as New York City's Global Welcome Ambassador. And they say, New York City is a truly welcoming city, and Welcome to New York perfectly exemplifies the unrivaled hospitality, energy, and excitement that can be felt throughout all five boroughs, said Fred Dixon, president and CEO of NYC & Company. We are pleased to work with Taylor Swift to welcome visitors from around the world as she was welcomed this year, and couldn't have asked for a better synergy between Taylor and NYC & Company to tell our story about what makes New York City, New York City. The new Welcome to New York song is a perfect anthem for New York City and captures the energy and spirit of our world-class destination, said Emily K. Rafferty, chairman of the board of NYC & Company and president of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Through this unique collaboration with Taylor Swift and the launch of this exciting new global tourism campaign, we will inspire more visitors to come here to experience the rich offerings of the five boroughs.
Okay, so that just shows you that Taylor was brought on for tourism. And that's the key word that we will keep going to throughout this episode. Taylor was not brought on to be a seasoned New Yorker. She was brought on to be a person that would draw people to come to the city to visit.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a very important distinction, because it would be one thing if Taylor, someone who had just moved to the city that year, was trying to act like she was this complete experienced New Yorker, native New Yorker, lived here her whole life, wanted people to come live here, move here. That's not what was happening. What was happening was that Taylor had just moved to the city, fell in love with it, and wanted other people to come visit to experience the magic of New York City.
Yeah, and she even has a quote. I don't know the exact wording, but she was saying how she grew up in Pennsylvania and they would go into the city a lot when she was a kid, and she would go to, like, auditions, or she actually, I think she said she went to, like, a few Knicks games. So it's not like it was, like, her first time in the city, and she grew up in the outskirts of the city, so.
Yeah, and it is, I think, a pretty smart thing for the city to do, because I think we'll get to this later on. The same guy who asked her to be the ambassador said, or maybe it wasn't the same guy, but someone from the tourism board said, Taylor Swift is like the number one global pop star. Everyone knows who she is. She has millions and millions of fans, and they're trying to attract tourism to their city. So it just makes sense to have someone who's extremely well-known and who has a lot of fans to encourage those fans to come visit. And I would assume that Taylor did encourage a lot of people to come to the city and probably did help boost tourism.
Taylor did a lot of videos for NYC Go. And, like, one of them picked up a lot of traction and a lot of people made fun of it. It was her explaining New York City vocabulary, and she talked about bodegas, stoops, Houston Street, and a lot of people made fun of her for it. And then she also said that the food of the city is the latte.
Yes.
And people got really upset because they're like, no, it's pizza and bagels.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it is well known that the food of the city is pizza and bagels, but, you know, if Taylor wants to call it the latte, I guess that's her choice. I don't know. The other thing about the video, because I did reference it in the introduction, maybe it did seem stupid or silly or cringy. I can kind of admit that it was a little bit cringy, but, I mean, I'm assuming that someone wrote that for her. On the bodega stoop thing, the video, we found a New York Post article, someone said in an editorial, the Swift promotions are not aimed at New Yorkers. They're aimed at people who live elsewhere. These are people who won't sneer when Swift explains what a stoop is or the right pronunciation of Houston Street. And I think that kind of is a good demonstration of what we're trying to say. Like, people not from the city aren't going to care about Taylor being cringy explaining what a bodega is.
And just on the flip side, we have a HuffPost article called Taylor Swift Explaining New York Vocabulary is Beyond Cringeworthy by Stephanie Marcus, and she said, with her new song, Welcome to New York, the woman who has lived in New York City for less than a year is now qualified to give the lowdown on the city to tourists and newcomers, because that makes sense. Let Taylor Swift define the word bodega for you. It's painful because, as she says, bodegas are our friends. Also, permit Swift to define the word stoop for you, because NYC Go doesn't have much faith in you, apparently. So that just goes on to say, like, it's just nitpicking for nitpicking's sake, in my opinion. It's an article that didn't need to be written.
Not at all.
Yeah, you know, but that's most of these articles.
Like I said, I mean, we watched the video. Is it cringy? Yeah, it is a little bit, in my opinion, but it's, at the end of the day, pretty harmless, I would say.
You think?
It's just Taylor trying to talk about New York City vocabulary. Yeah, she's only lived there for a little bit, but, you know, like I said, I do think probably the tourism board was like, oh, here's an idea for a video. Like, why don't you explain what a bodega is? Why don't you explain what a stoop is? This will be cute. It'll just be a fun little video for you to do. And then people just had a lot of fun making fun of Taylor for it.
That's a lot of people's favorite pastime, of course. Mm-hmm. So, Erin, why don't we read one of the articles that annoyed me the most, that Daily Beast article I have.
Yes. So, the title is New York is Taylor's New Boyfriend, which is written by Amy Zimmerman.
Let's just stop there and how obnoxious that is.
And, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, if you've been paying attention to Taylor Swift for any time at all, people love to make fun of her for her boyfriends. And now they're saying New York is Taylor's new boyfriend. And I'm assuming it's poking fun at the idea that she gets obsessed with her men and now she's obsessed with New York and she's just an obsessive, crazy lunatic. Okay, so Amy Zimmerman says, Swift's take on NYC is so silly and saccharine, it's like the only sources of info she consulted on the historic metropolis were mottos from different souvenir tote bags on sale at Penn Station and excerpts from your grandma's emails asking about life in the Big Apple. And because Taylor Swift is a fake pop star invented by wedding gown emporiums and Tiger Beat to sell heteronormative fantasies and life-size posters of Harry Styles, she naturally can't make it through one song about NYC without folding the city into her all-consuming boyfriend narrative. Of course, this new ad campaign is a totally crass PR move consisting of a reductive collection of platitudes that masks the diversity of New York City, its checkered history, its multi-layered problems and paradoxes, and its uncertain future. But in addition to all that, it's also really irritating. It's nothing we haven't seen before.
Let's not be scandalized. It's nothing we haven't seen before.
I think the second paragraph talking about how it's just reduces New York into like some glossy, glittery picture. I mean, we've already talked about that. And again, it's not what the song was meant for. And I don't, you know, I guess people just like to write these articles to get attention and publicity, but I just don't understand how so many people just completely miss the point.
Obviously, Taylor is not going to have the same New York City experience as 99% of people, but that doesn't mean that she can't write about it, and it doesn't mean that she can't do a tourism campaign as a celebrity.
And I don't know what people expected out of a pop album. Typically, pop albums don't really get into nitty-gritty, like, socioeconomic, political things. So I don't know why, out of 1989, they would expect a song about New York to be, like, really deep and meaningful about all the struggles and problems and diversity of New York. Like, I don't know why that was something that was expected.
Well, I think even if she did do that, she would be seen as tone-deaf. And, yeah. Like, she didn't capture the experience well enough for
she
people who are
she hasn't lived there
privileged.
Long enough. She is privilege. She can't write about that. So I guess maybe she should have just not talked about New York at all. Just stayed out of it. This is my city. That seems to be the author's main thing, is that this is my city. No one else can live here. And then she even says, like, it sounds like she took inspiration from souvenir tote bags, which she actually did get the point, because the point of the song was to, well, I don't know if it was originally meant to attract tourism, but they used it to attract tourism. So I would think that it would be like that it would take inspo from souvenir things and just stereotypical things like that. Then the other thing is, because, of course, we always have to mention that Taylor is fake.
Oh, yeah, she's so fake, definitely.
She's a fake pop star. she's a robot. Wasn't that the article we read earlier?
Yep, from the, I forget the name of the publication, but yeah, they called her a robot. And there was a lot of people also who called Welcome to New York the song robotic. So that's just another thing.
Yeah. And I guess we could probably do an episode about the 1989 era as a whole. We did talk about the Squad, which kind of fits into it, but just the all-encompassing era, because I would say at this point, Taylor was probably, well, not probably, she was at her most overexposed, and this is the era when people really, really thought she was just absolutely fake, calculated, manipulative. Everything robotic. She does is calculated. There's not a single bit of authenticity to her, and her image is just completely manufactured.
Yep.
And I guess if that is where you're coming from, and if you believe that, then maybe this whole thing would be just obnoxious to you, but...
Yeah, I could definitely see how this would play into that narrative perfectly because, you know, she's doing the campaign for the tourism and she has this song, Welcome to New York, that just so happened to fit perfectly with that. It was her master plan all along, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably also the time when people saw Taylor as just, like, perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she didn't make any mistakes, everything about, like, she never made a misstep. And I can kind of see where that's annoying, and it's like, oh, this girl, she doesn't ever make a mistake, she's so calculated. And I guess that doesn't necessarily tie into the city well, because, you know, people are always talking about, like, how it's gritty there, and she's just, like, some, yeah, edgy, gritty, and she's, like, this perfect pop princess.
But she would always walk around the streets with her handbag on the crook of her arm and her big heels and, yeah, with her model friends.
Yeah, the marketing of 1989 is very interesting, and I do think it would make a good episode because I can see both sides of it. It is, I think it's genius.
Me too.
But it's also
so fascinating to pick apart.
It is kind of annoying and off-putting in some ways.
I could see that.
And I definitely understand why people are annoyed by it. But this particular thing, the New York ambassadorship, I think is just something so stupid to get mad at. Okay, the next article is called Taylor Swift Dissed as New York Tourism Ambassador. And this has some quotes from The Village Voice. A writer from The Village Voice said, "A latte is not like a slice of pizza or bagel," which is what we alluded to earlier when people got very mad that Taylor said the latte is the food of the city, not a pizza or a bagel.
I even saw this is a side note, I also saw an article that was literally picking apart the latte that she posted with the Welcome to New York campaign. They're like, ew, it looks so disgusting. This is a real latte here. They attached, like, a picture with latte art. I was like, are you serious right now? You're really going to write an article about this?
Yeah, Taylor's latte is not up to my standards. The Daily News called her appointment as the tourism ambassador absurd. A Brooklyn city councilman asked in tweet, "Of all the past, present, talent, and celebrities that are actually native New Yorkers, explain again why Taylor Swift is their ambassador." But then the company spokesman, this is kind of what I talked about earlier, Chris Haywood, defended Taylor as the perfect choice for the global ambassador, saying, "She is the number one global pop star in the world right now. She is a new New Yorker. She came to New York last spring. This is a new approach all about the wonderment and excitement you have when you first come to New York City. To have this enthusiasm from a global superstar who has given us her image and influence to promote New York City is a gift. We are so grateful." And then he also noted that a previous campaign they did called Just Ask Locals used New Yorkers like Robert De Niro and Cynthia Nixon.
And I think that's a key point. When I saw the Just Ask the Locals campaign, I was like, well, that makes perfect sense. That was a campaign for the people who live in New York, and this is the one for people who are tourists to New York. To me, that made perfect sense.
Yeah. I think what he said, yeah, exactly, it all added up to me. Like,
Cynthia Nixon was born and raised in New York City, so good. She can be the Just Ask the Locals campaign. Taylor is new to the city. She can be the tourism campaign.
And I do think what he says is true. Taylor just moving to the city is a benefit to them because she's still excited about it and she still has a lot of passion for it. And she can really encapsulate that energy, perhaps unlike someone who has lived there their entire life and who is native to New York. They might not have that same excitement that would attract people to come visit like Taylor would.
Okay, and then lastly, we have a CNN travel article by Katya Hetter called Better New York City Ambassadors and Taylor Swift. An ambassador to our country's largest and most exciting and diverse city doesn't have to be born there, but surely she needs to have done something there besides spend money and drink lattes. Of course, she's not selling the real New York, where working class people struggle to find affordable housing, where rising retail rents are pushing independent bars, music venues, and shops out for one-size-fits-all chain stores. She's selling the shiny, clean version that's sanitized and easy and won't snatch your wallet.
This is somewhat unrelated to this article, but I just had a thought, like, obviously, all of this stuff that we've been talking about is truly the perfect evidence that Taylor was a very good choice, because look at all this publicity it got. Look at all the articles that were written about New York, yeah, about Taylor Swift. If it had been someone native to New York who maybe wasn't as high profile as Taylor, nobody would have blinked an eye. Nobody would have cared. There would have been no articles written about it, and we would have all just moved on. So to me, that just shows that Taylor was a very good choice because of all the publicity it got.
Yeah, and yet again, there are huge problems in New York City, like this author noted, and those should be taken care of by politicians, you know, people who actually have influence on politics and economic issues. But, and I can see where she's coming from, I really can, about her frustration with Taylor selling the sanitized version of the city. But unfortunately, that is a lot of what tourism is. Like, I know back in the day with Sex and the City, a lot of people would go to the city to experience that Sex and the City day. They had the bus tours. They would go to Magnolia Bakery and get cupcakes. They would drink their Cosmopolitans. That's just kind of the way it is with tourism.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, when you're trying to attract tourists, why would you talk about the unsanitized, as she says, version of New York? Why would you talk about, as she says, you know, this sanitized version won't snatch your wallet? Why would Taylor say, you know, come to New York and have your wallet stolen and be careful because it's gonna be a little bit scary for you? I don't know if you're gonna make it out alive.
It's all just kind of like, yeah,
it's just very interesting because when you are attempting to attract people to come visit, I don't know why you would talk about the bad parts of your city.
Yeah, definitely. But that's a
then good at the
point.
Same time, as the ambassador of New York City, I guess maybe Taylor should be expected to talk about the bad parts because, I don't know either,
but it's
fine. I think to me it would be different. Again, we keep coming back to this tourism idea. I think it would be different if she was just the ambassador of New York with no qualifier. Just,
but she was the global ambassador, like meaning the, about tourism.
Like, just an ambassador, and she's meant to represent New York. Like, okay, then I could see it. That's kind of weird. I wouldn't, whatever. But she's a global ambassador for tourism, specifically focused on attracting people to come visit to the city. So in that position, I think she was doing all the things that she should have been doing.
When this author speaks about the gentrification of New York City and all the box stores that are coming in, it reminds me of how Taylor, during this pandemic, has been really helping out independent record stores by sending the signed CDs to them. She paid the salaries of a record store in Nashville. So I think she does do a lot of stuff like that for independent record stores. And who knows, maybe during this time she was as well.
Yeah. And maybe they're taking issue with having more tourists means having more, like, corporations, more,
which,
like,
is true, but yeah. I'm sure that there was a lot of little places that people like to go to as well when they travel there, like independent restaurants and all that.
But tourism is a huge, huge, obviously, part of the city. All of the industries that rely on tourists kind of keep the city running. So it's very important, like as we see with tourism way down in the city, the economy is really struggling. So someone like Taylor Swift could probably really help out right now.
Okay, so do we want to get into the final part of our episode? How sure. This, let's say, call it a scandal in particular, affected Taylor Swift, her career, her reputation, going forward from 2014 and beyond.
Yeah, I would say it definitely just added to the list of things that made people hate Taylor Swift and think that she is, like I mentioned previously, a robot who's just completely manufactured and doesn't do anything authentic or genuine ever. And I guess at this point, if you believe that, this isn't really going to change anything. It's just going to add to your list of evidence. But if you don't believe that, if you do believe there are authentic and real parts of her, then you're probably not going to really think anything of this, is what I would say. So I don't know if at the end of the day it really impacted her fan base. I don't know.
What yeah, do it think? Definitely didn't affect her fan base, I don't think. I think this was just another thing, and it was just another stepping stone of her career in the 1989 era. But it's just, like, hard to believe all the pushback that she always gets. Like, at this time, she was single, and she was just living her life in New York, and she got asked to be the global ambassador, and she accepted that. And it's, like, still people had things to say about it.
I will say it did give her a lot of publicity, and much of it was negative, but it was still a lot of publicity.
All publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, so, and then it must have also helped out New York, because, I mean, if you search us on Google, there are just, like, countless articles about this.
Countless.
This
was a huge thing. It was so hard to sift through. There were so many.
People were all just, like, jumping to weigh in on this.
Yeah, there were so many articles written about it. Far, far, far too many.
So if the goal was exposure, she certainly got that.
Yeah, I just think the 1989 era is so fascinating because it's just the pinnacle of her exposure and her fame. And I know that during the era, she knew that she was being overexposed and that she wanted to take a step back after it ended. But I think this definitely affected her. To me, it's, like, kind of a blip. I don't know if many people would remember it. Like, I don't really remember it, kind of.
I think probably only the people who remember it are her maybe fans. The people who, yeah, her fans, and maybe the people who lived in the city at the time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it has, like, long-lasting effects or anything like that, but it just kind of plays into, like you said, it checks every single box, like, robotic, calculated, fake, what else?
Manipulative.
Yeah.
All these things. Now, was this a permanent ambassadorship or is it temporary?
I'm pretty sure it was temporary, like just for when she was living in New York.
So then who is the new ambassador for tourism?
I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find anything.
Huh. Exactly. So I don't know. Maybe they discontinued this.
Maybe.
Program, I guess, for lack of a better word.
But we know that as time has gone on, Taylor has written more songs about New York City, Cornelia Street, False God.
Yeah, she mentions the city in a lot. I'm scared. Cardigan, she talks about it. Doesn't she say, what's the song, I Left a Part of Me Back in New York, you knew the hero died, so what's the movie for? Yeah, so Hoax.
Okay.
She's still talking about it.
She's still going.
And she still has a place there, so I think people maybe expected her to move to New York for, like, a year and then up and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I guess I could see that, like, oh, Taylor's only going to live here for, like, a year. Who cares what she says about New York? Like,
she's going to get disenchanted with it.
She's just going to get sick of it and she's going to move. So, like, why is she even here? But she stuck around.
Yeah, she did. So let's give her credit. Just kidding, in her, like, $90 million apartment.
Yeah, I think I've read that her real estate in New York is, like, insanely valuable.
I mean, I would like it, too, if I had that apartment.
Yeah. Okay, that was our episode about Taylor being the New York City ambassador. We hope you enjoyed it, and the new year is coming up, so we hope you have a wonderful time celebrating and ringing in 2021.
We hope you have a good day. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we will see you in 2021.